Hi, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting freedom, health, wellness, sustainability, and justice for all. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. In this episode, we're featuring Bob Linden of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Bob's joining us from the Bay Area in California. He's the first to start a vegan talk show in mainstream media, KRLA in Los Angeles. And his career has been in broadcast management in radio stations across the USA. We'll be hearing about that and contemporary events and more. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're very fortunate to be joined by Bob Linden. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. I am so thrilled about this. Welcome, Bob, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Well, thank you so much, Marlene. I am thrilled, too. You are a hero. In this day and age, it's really the vegans are the modern-day superheroes, and you certainly are one. Conducting this show now, what, for almost 8 years, right?
So, yeah, started in 2015.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, that's can't get more noble than that.
And I'm very grateful to you for starting the first vegan talk show on mainstream media in 2000 at KRLA in Los Angeles. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden.
Well, it was a surprise to me to be the first ever vegan talk show host. I never would have imagined. Well, growing up, I never would have imagined I'd be vegan. So, yeah, you know, like, oh, yeah, you'll be starting the first vegan talk show ever. You'll be doing all these vegan festivals and events. And it's like, you know, I was winning a hamburger eating contest when I was 16. I ate 30 White Castle hamburgers in New York. And I'm amazed I lived to tell about it. You know, I was in college, Queens College of the City University of New York, where I started in radio, you know, WQMC radio there. So, and my show was on, I think it was on like at 10 at night, and it only got pumped into the cafeteria, which closed at 9 p.m. So I think my first shows were heard by the cleanup crew, but I hope they enjoyed it. So, and little did I know in college that really what I was learning, all my friends came over on Friday nights, and I chose the music. So that was my big claim to fame was my taste in music. So friends would come over on Friday nights. I picked all the music, and I did the cooking. Little did I know that I would have a career picking music. That was my one talent. I didn't know that. Why did I waste time in all those classes when it was like, whoa, Quite an interesting career to get hired by radio stations to select the music. It's like, wow, that's too good of a job to have. So, but while I was in college, my friends were over on Friday night, and I was cooking. I usually cooked the chicken dish every Friday night with an apricot glaze. And one particular Friday night, I looked down at the pan and I saw somebody's body. To my horror, it was like, not a nondescript food item, not a round cutlet, but, you know, like, this is somebody's body. And then I just blurted out to everybody there that night that I don't think I can eat animals anymore. And, you know, everybody thought I was totally strange, but, you know, that was it. I saw the violence in the pan, and I thought, wow, somebody died for me to be eating and putting, you know, an apricot glaze on the body. That didn't seem right. And so I did become what I call the first vegetarian I ever knew. But, you know, I didn't really know what I was doing at first. I thought, well, maybe the oceans are here to feed us. And, you know, scallops, they don't look like, you know, bodies. Or, you know, but really, when I thought about it, like all the fish faces I saw, I'm thinking, well, they have to gasp for air. And, you know, they're dying, too. So, okay, well, I'll just continue to eat dairy and eggs because cows have to give milk and chickens lay eggs, and I'm sure they're happy to do it. Until I lived in San Antonio, Texas, I was the program director of Star 106 there, and I wanted to do a benefit for some animal group. So it was a group called Man and Beast, and I saw some of their literature on the dairy and egg industries, And I thought, wow, how horrific can it be? I mean, they're tortured, imprisoned, mutilated, and all killed. That wasn't the bucolic, ideal dairy and egg industry that I thought existed. So I immediately had to stop with the dairy and eggs and became somebody who didn't consume any animal products, but I didn't even know the term vegan existed back then in 1984 when I became vegan, but didn't know it. I didn't know also, so the word vegan was created in the 1940s, Donald Watson, but prior to that in the 1930s, since I've organized some reggae vegan festivals, you know, reggae is a vegan art form. And in the 1930s, the Rastafari in Jamaica came to the conclusion that to be vegan, they called it ITAL. So ITAL, they believe that you couldn't feed your life force, the livity, couldn't be fed by dead animals and their secretions. So they actually became vegan in Jamaica there and came up with a word for it before Donald Watson did. So I'm an italic vegan, I guess. So there I went along in my career in radio and got hired along the way and tried to do things for animals and had lots of conflicts along the way when, oh, like in Seattle when I was program director at the Sound, KNUA, and we collected towels for the sea otters who were caught in the Alaska oil spill. But then management wanted to accept fur advertising. So, you know, just a strange career in the corporate world going along. But, you know, that's how I keep myself sane keep the illusion of sanity these days as the world goes more insane by the minute. But I have these music playlists that I create now in the days of Spotify. So it's like I'm creating my old music radio stations. And I recently came to the conclusion, I used to think that I wanted to be a music, a program director in music because I loved music. I didn't think radio stations played the greatest music at all. And I thought I could bring something new and different. And it worked really well. Like in every city I went, we attracted a large audience by really, high quality music by my ear, believe it or not. I was known in the industry for my ear, and then I came up against a lot of consultants who wanted to do research and people in audiences and kind of compromised. I think it killed music, it killed radio, basically. But I was fortunate enough to be somebody who, was able to choose music. And to this day, so it came to me recently that these big corporations like in New York, Tribune Broadcasting and Gannett, all of them, they hired me because they thought I had the best taste in music in the world. I'm so flattered now to realize that. I thought I was just trying to create radio stations that sounded great and respected the listener by trying to do the best one could do for the community. When, I got into radio a long time ago, even have an FCC or had an FCC third-class broadcast license. Third-class license with broadcast endorsement. We had to take tests and all that kind of stuff back then. And we were considered public trustees and went around and visited different organizations and communities to ascertain community problems and try to address them with public affairs programming. Nothing like today. So I actually, in creating these music formats, felt that there was an obligation to the community to do things like have concerts and maybe have a blanket for the homeless as the cost of admission. When I was in Washington, D.C. at Jazzy 100, we started the Jazzy 100 office recycling program, first of its kind anywhere. So it's always like I felt like radio stations brought a lot of people together over music in particular. And then people wanted actually do good in the world, and we could all come together and try to address some of the problems that we have going. And along the way, I decided that the biggest problem is that people eat meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, and that's what's wrong with the world. That's the main thing that's wrong with the world, is that people aren't vegan. Back when I was considering looking down at the chicken in the pan, I thought I was making a quiet little personal decision, even though I was engaged to a butcher's daughter and, you know, my future ex-mother-in-law was yelling at me, you're going to die if you eat like that. But I couldn't participate, you know, in the violence. So I thought it was a quiet little personal decision. And then I find out that it's the key to everything. It's the key to saving really all the animals, like billions and billions of animals, saving the environment and human health. I mean, it's like everything that's wrong with the world seems to start with people eating meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. And, you know, just like I was flummoxed by how people kind of bought into getting this vax recently and, you know, getting talked into it, you know, with it being totally experimental and, you know, all of that. And I'm thinking, well, it's kind of like probably the way people got talked into eating meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, you know, in the beginning. It's like, who came up with that idea? Okay, we're going to eat decomposing pathogen-covered, fecal-sprinkled bodies right now. You know, is that a good idea? Doesn't seem like it. So anyway, what was the question, Marlene?
Oh, I love it. I like the story that you went from being the hamburg champion of eating hamburger back in your young days, and now you are the vegan king of the globe.
Well, I'm, you know, everybody who's vegan is a superhero. Like we can save the world just by eating.
I am just so honored with you, Bob. You're amazing. All that you have done with your World Vegan Summit and the other summits and the Reggae Vegan Fest in L.A. and San Diego and all the marches. And then, of course, starting Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden back in 2000 in Los Angeles. And then carrying on all these years, I've listened to a gazillion episodes of your shows. And, oh, I love them all. And I like that you're brave and courageous. You're a true vegan in this crazy age of 2022.
I seem to have no choice in the matter. I don't, you know, I mean, like, I actually got arrested 6 or 7 times, you know, in my activist life. Activist life could be somewhat challenging. You know, I didn't know activism would take over my life. I mean, there I was minding my own business, having a nice career in radio, you know, in radio management, you know, radio stations all across the country. Can't beat that, you know, listening to music, deciding what gets played on the air. And, you know, it's kind of like couldn't have more of a fun job. So, you know, that was at Jazzy 100, Washington, D.C. I was at CD 101 in New York, Love 94 Miami, KIFM San Diego. It was a gypsy life, and I loved it. I had a great time. Started with a rock station. Well, started with a country station in Mojave after I graduated from the KISS Broadcasting Workshop in Los Angeles. I just wanted to work in radio. So they said, you could be on the air on weekends if you'll sell advertising during the week. So I had to drive 84 miles each, you know, to work, 84 miles home every day. But I wanted to be in radio. I slept over at the station on weekends, and I turned it off at night, turned the station back on in the morning, and then went on to KXFM in Santa Maria. And the new general manager there liked the way that the show that I did sounded. So he asked if I could make the station, you know, the rest of the station sound like my show. It was a progressive rock station. We had a wall full of albums there. And so I figured out a way of doing that using little index cards and song titles, and then got hired to start up a rock station, Z92 in Omaha in 1978. Stayed there for 3 years. And, you know, it's just like a great career. And then at one point, though, pretty much when I was in Washington, D.C. in the mid-90s, along came deregulation and consolidation. Some bill from Clinton and Gore came in. And it used to be in radio that you could only own one AM and one FM. And if you owned a TV station, you couldn't own radio stations. And if you owned a newspaper, you couldn't own whatever. So there were lots of owners, and there would always be somebody desperate in last place. And those were the people I approached to try to turn around and say, look, let's do something different. Let's actually play great music that people will actually love, you know, so, and let's really do things in the community. In Raleigh, North Carolina, we fought a nuclear waste dump from being placed in town. Dump the Dump campaign that we had there, along with the great music that we played, you know. So I always felt like a radio station could really be active in the community, and it's an obligation to do so. If you attract an audience, then you have an obligation to try to do good in the world. And I've come to the conclusion that the best good that can be done is to go vegan and help others go vegan. It's the key to everything. I mean, it's the key to family health. My father died when he was 47. So I've outlived him now by a lot. All his brothers and sisters had heart disease. So I thought, wow, there's heart disease in the genes in this family. But actually, it was heart disease in the diet on the plates of this family.
We're listening to Bob Linden, who's joining us via Skype from the Bay Area in California. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Bob Linden. Welcome back from the break. You're tuned in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, in Massachusetts. We just heard The Pig Song by Will Tuttle from his album Animal Songs. And we're joined by Bob Linden of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. We're continuing our conversation, and then we'll hear about the contemporary events, important ones, in the vegan movement in 2022.
The activism took over my life. I was in San Diego, working with a group there, San Diego Animal Advocates, and a guy named Jim Brown said to me, you know, we ought to start a vegan festival. So, hey, Bob, I have an office here. Here's a phone. Why don't you just see what you can do to start a festival? So, you know, the momentum started, and before we knew it, we had this San Diego Fall Fest. The late 90s, was it? Yeah, at Dusty Rhodes Park. And you looked up in the afternoon, and there were thousands of people there with music and speakers. And it was like, whoa, this is amazing here. And so we said, okay, maybe we could do this up in L.A., you know. So I went up to L.A. I camped out on my sister's couch and found a location to start World Fest L.A., which was in 2000. We found a park in the San Fernando Valley, and thousands of people came out for that. When I was going around promoting the show to radio stations around Los Angeles, somebody at KRLA said, well, you know, you have a background in broadcasting, and you're a vegan animal rights activist. You should be doing a show on KRLA. Now, it'll cost you money, so go try to find some advertisers and come back when you do. And, I was goofy enough to go do it and find the advertisers to go on the air. I thought the show would last maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and the owners would hear the show, and all the other advertisers would be offended, and they'd kick me off the air. But I guess they never listened to my show. They were just happy if I kept paying them for the airtime. A show that I would have done for free, you know, as, you know, in the public interest, as public affairs programming, back when I was a program director, but, you know, it's pay to play. So it turned out I wound up buying time, and the station became, the show became very popular, and then added on stations in San Francisco, KYCY, the CBS affiliate there, and then it was on The Quake and Green 960, and then on the Air America Radio Network that was on about 40 stations, and, you know, had people, you know, who's this guy to tell us what to eat? You know, it's like, you know, it should be our choice. Yeah. Well, you know, the animals don't have a choice. So I was on a station in Orange County, KPLS, some guy wrote to the station and said, your show is dripping with moral superiority, and I'm not going to listen anymore. So I'm thinking, well, if he recognizes the moral superiority of being vegan, I guess he's not going to listen, because if he kept listening, he'd have to go vegan, because it's not my fault it's morally superior to be vegan and nonviolent and torture animals and, you know, save them and save the world and, you know, people's health and everything. So, yeah. So, and then, you know, after World Fest, we had a number of other festivals. We had Planet Fest in Orange County and Community Fest in Woodland Hills in the San Fernando Valley, which turned out to be, it's actually an agricultural college, and they read some of the things that I posted about dairy. Then they got all nervous about the event, and they thought I was going to attract ALF people, you know, who like rip the urinals out of the walls of the school or something. So they wound up charging me a lot more for security for that event. And then we went on to produce the World Vegan Summit and Expo in L.A. and in the Bay Area. And I keep forgetting, I never even talk about, but I do have, there's a YouTube channel that I have. YouTube.com/GoVeganRadio. And a lot of the lectures from that event are on there, a lot of the presentations, a lot of other interesting stuff also. And as you mentioned, I have over 600 programs that are archived at GoVeganRadio.com. And the thing is, the world has gone so crazy now. The narrative that I'm being told that the people who own us, the puppet masters of the universe, the World Economic Forum and Bill Gates, they're all telling us we're going to have to eat bugs in the future because Bill Gates is buying up all the farmland and they're sabotaging everything. It's such a, you know. I hear people, you know, they're out there saying, oh, this is so disgusting. They're going to want us to eat bugs. These are the same people who are eating decomposing body parts. You know, these are people who are eating flesh and mammary secretions from other species. And, you know, like, whoa, bugs? I think things are pretty disgusting the way it is right now, you know. And then, you know, there's plenty of blood in dairy, lots of pus and blood in the milk from cows. And, you know, they are impregnated against their will on something the dairy industry calls a rape rack. And it's at a very young age. So, I don't know. You are what you eat, huh? So, like, it's have a world of terror with consuming terrorism and sadness and misery. And we're talking about this great reset now, this great reset. They want to put chips in our brains and you know, and through these vaxes, they're pretty much turning us into GMOs. And people are complaining, we don't want to be transhuman. But people are eating cows and pigs and chickens. I mean, doesn't that make you transhuman? You are what you eat. You know, is it a big leap to go to a chip in your head? You know, from a cow. You know, from. From eating the animal, yeah, I don't know. I'm just a firm believer in you are what you eat. You know, you eat violence, terror, misery, sickness, disease. Look what you get. So they want to do this great reset, and I'm saying, well, what we really need is a great vegan reset. It's the one thing we really haven't tried yet. So maybe people start thinking right. You know, we're herbivores after all. You know, herbivores gone wild by the brainwashing that we have. The same brainwashing, not really washing, it's dirtying, it's poisoning, it's mind control. So the same brainwashing that convinces us to eat the body parts of murder victims is the same brainwashing, brain poisoning, mind control that's convincing people to allow themselves to be shot with these experimental genetic modification injections that are causing great damage around the world, millions of people injured, and, you know, and a media that won't tell the truth at all, you know. So if you're still turning on mainstream media, you're not going to get the truth. You have to seek it out. You have to go to alternative places to hear anything about what's going on in the world. So I guess the moral of the story is go vegan and help everybody else go vegan, and that's the best we can do in these crazy times.
Yes, for sure. Thank you, Bob Linden. Thank you. We're coming to a close in the interview for today. What additional messages do you have for our listeners, and what contact information?
Let's see. Well, goveganradio.com. So, and they can email me, bob@goveganradio.com. I still post on Facebook, but I do so really under protest. I consider Facebook to be fascist, the fascist tool of totalitarianism. You know, being arrested 6 or 7 times for freedom of speech issues, I really value freedom of speech. I wasn't guilty of anything. I was just exercising my right to free speech on behalf of animals, and times suddenly I found myself in jail wrongfully and protected by the Constitution, which seems to be in the process of being shredded right now. So I think it's stand up for your rights, support free speech, you know, resist. Things are not looking good for a lot of people. So, you know, I'm just hoping for the best and hoping that everyone goes vegan and can find their way to good health and, you know, just keep on keeping on.
Thank you very much. And thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. You are a hero. Thank you so much for doing this program and helping the world to be a better place.
Thank you. And I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Let's go out with a little snippet of Freedom Over Everything by vegan musician Diesel Automatic. This is Marlena, Massachusetts, wishing you a safe and pleasant day.
Evil will never win. Never lift win. Every voice and sing. Till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmony of liberty. Because our sovereignty comes from divinity. Some say it's God-given. Some say it's natural rights. No matter what you call it, you know we have to fight. Yes, it's been done before. Yeah. This and so much more. Yeah. For over 50 years, right. It's called the drug war. Millions of innocent civilians enslaved so that companies and crooked politicians could get paid. You're afraid? That's okay, but just be brave and don't comply. Because the future of humanity depends on you and I. The government could get bent. Yeah. We won't obey, we won't comply, we don't consent. Hell no. Ring the alarm. They causing harm. Put a mandatory back, so now it's on. Yeah, it's on now. Tyrants, yeah, it's on now. Woo. Yeah, it's on now. Oppressors.